This podcast is part of the Acast Creator Network. Hello and welcome to The Stand with Eamon Dunphy. Now, despite many important things happening in the world, the number one or two story in Ireland at the moment concerns the former chief executive of the FAI, John Delaney, and he is now, at we speak, executive vice president of the association. But rumours abound that following a series of FAI meetings today, Mr. Delaney will leave the association. There have been a number of interventions, one of them from the Minister for Transport, Tourism and Sport, Shane Ross. Mr. Ross has declared that the FAI will not get the funding that they are due. There's a new 100 million grant scheme for large-scale sports projects, but any sporting body with inadequate corporate governance will not qualify, Mr. Ross has assured everybody. It appears that John Delaney's days are numbered. We covered this story last week and we're going to cover it again now with the two journalists we talked to last week. Mark Tye of the Sunday Times is the journalist who broke the original John Delaney story about a €100,000 loan he gave the association. Delaney went to extraordinary lengths, including seeking an injunction to stop this story being published. He failed in that, and his woes have unfolded from that point onwards. Kieran Cunningham is chief sports writer with the Irish Daily Star and an outstanding sports writer, but also somebody who worked for a very long time, 20 years I would say, on FAI stories, and like many Irish sports writers, has been frustrated by this association. Mark Tye, thank you very much for joining us. Mark, the latest development in the Sunday Times yesterday, a story you revealed, concerned €40,000 worth of expenses John Delaney racked up on an FAI credit card. There was a very, very good piece by Justin McCarthy. The case, she suggested, of John Delaney and the FAI recalls a banana republic, and also a News Review piece which gave us further insight into this story. It's a remarkable story, and the credit card details are a colourful part of it.
Yeah. I suppose like it's something that in the Oireachtas hearings recently, there's been a number of references by the TDs to, you know, what is the story with John Delaney's expenses. And for journalists on the ground, it's kind of been a holy grail, you know, to say, you know, what is the story with John's FAI expenses? You know, because he's well known to be buying rounds of drinks for fans. And, you know, there's always been a bit of a conjecture about who's actually picking up the tab. So we've been sniffing around that area for some time. And last week we were able to get, you know, just a 6-month snapshot of his credit card bills on the FAI credit card for the latter half of 2016. And that showed, you know, as well as kind of flights and stuff you'd expect, that there was a number of curious charges on the FAI credit card, including over €6,000 in cash withdrawals and, you know, some rather large hotel bills, including, you know, a Ritz-Carlton stay in Dubai of €4,500. And then on top of the credit card bill, there was a bill for the Ritz-Carlton in New York in 2015 where the FAI settled an €8,000 bill. So quite substantial charges. And other things like, you know, where John Delaney's been living is Kilmacannock in County Wicklow, and Flux is his local pub and restaurant. And he'd been regularly charging, you know, bills of €20 to €30 there. And, you know, that, over the 6-month period, that added up to over €500. There was charges of over €500 for executive dry cleaners. So stuff that, you know, you have to question the FAI board. And it's only the FAI board that can explain this and answer the question of whether all of that is authorized and justified. And we haven't had any explanation or answer to that question from the FAI.
Now, there's a few takeaways in there from Deliveroo as well, I believe, but we'll gloss over that. Mark, you were at the Oireachtas hearing last Wednesday, I think this really was what shocked the wider public about the behaviour of the FAI and indeed the ineptitude of some committee members. Mr. Noel Rock, TD, springs to mind, having already slandered Delaney and said he should resign. He now purports to sit there judging him. The atmosphere must have been extremely strange. It came across very badly on television and to the wider public.
Yeah, it was quite dispiriting, actually. Yeah, I was, Delaney issued this statement. He hadn't warned anyone about it. You know, the usual process is to give the whatever committee you're attending a one-day heads up on what you're going to say so they can formulate questions, you know. So if any written statement is to be issued, it should be issued in advance. So Delaney kind of revealed this at the last second. It broke for 20 minutes to read it. And it really threw the TDs, I think, this thing that he was saying, that he wasn't going to answer questions. TD didn't know how to handle that. And the chair, Fergus O'Dowd, was kind of operating then as a kind of a block, with any TD that did deign to try and ask a question of John Delaney. But what he said in the statement was remarkable. There was a lot in it, actually. He was effectively dumping all over his finance department and saying, they alerted me to this cash shortfall of 2017 quite late in the day. And he said that there was only hours to act. And he said, this is where the check came out of. I said, it's the only solution to the problem. And then he said, I asked Eamon Breen, the finance director who since departed the FAI, whether there's any reporting restrictions. And he never, because of his legal advice or his legal tactic of parking the bus, he wouldn't answer questions. And what was the answer to that? So it's actually saying, this isn't my fault, this is a finance guy. And I did report it to the then chair of the FAI and the Michael Cody, the secretary. So he's saying, look, this isn't my fault, any of these problems of non-disclosure or non-reporting. I thought that PD didn't cover himself in glory. They improved after lunch, but there's a lot of simple questions they could have asked that unfortunately weren't put to John Delaney. And, he wasn't answering questions from us, so they had it's a great opportunity to put questions to him. I think it was missed largely, yeah.
And one of the shocks, I suppose, to the general public was the inability of TDs to put questions. Mr. Delaney was accompanied by a solicitor, Aidan Eames, who was Angela Cairns' solicitor in her Supreme Court challenge to the Public Accounts Committee, where the Supreme Court found in Ms. Cairns' favour. And this has left Oireachtas committees quite helpless. And the presence of Mr. Eames beside John Delaney for 8 hours while Delaney sat there mute was also quite striking.
Yeah, it was remarkable. He sat directly behind him, and I want to say one of the TDs asked, who is that gentleman? And Donald Conway, the FAI president, said, oh, he's Aidan, he's a solicitor. He obviously didn't even know his second name. But there was moments where Conway was asked a question. You could see Aidan Eames whispering in John Delaney's ear from behind, and John Delaney would whisper into Donald Conway's ear. So you're like, who's actually getting evidence here, and how are the FBI allowing their responses to an Oireachtas committee hearing and questions from the TD be dictated by the legal advisor to its executive vice president? Who's driving the cart here? Who's in charge? So it was remarkable and quite frustrating as a watcher. I think a lot of the TDs were quite frustrated, and some of them, I think like Noel Rock did ask some good questions. Robert Troy asked some good questions. Ruth Coppinger and Captain Murphy. There was some sharp questions, and we found out that the board only knew about the loan after Sunday Times put in the press query last March, which is just shocking, that the board didn't know that. And we find out that Eddie Murray, the honorary treasurer and man who's been on the board for over 15 years, didn't know how many bank accounts the FAI had. So all this is obviously coming to a head today, I think, with the board meeting, and we'll find out who's leaving and who's staying for the moment.
Kieran Cunningham, the evident contempt that the FAI delegation had for an Oireachtas committee would have come as no surprise to sports writers who work on the FAI beat over the years, would it?
No, not in the slightest. Like, that's one of the remarkable things about the work Mark has done, that he's been able to get so much out there, and, you know, getting past all the threats and the legal threats, etc., because everybody across the Irish media has had to deal with that over the last 15 years or so, and going back further when there were other people involved in the FAI. And it's effectively bullying, and it's tied into the very punitive libel regime in Ireland as well. But, you know, a lot of what went on in the Oireachtas Committee, Eamon, was grandstanding and fluff. But there was some interesting stuff that came out there, and there was some decent questions for even somebody like Noel Rock, who I think Noel Rock is in a constituency where the boundaries have been redrawn. He's in a battle for the last seat there. And I think this has all helped his profile come up to whenever the next election will be. But he still pressed them hard on, as did Jonathan O'Brien, the Sinn Féin TD from Cork, who's previously north of Cork City, and Mark Daly, after making an egid of himself morning session, got onto it as well later on. Is what was this 100,000 loan all about? And they couldn't explain why they needed this 100,000. And there is a lot of grounded speculation that prize money has been held back, particularly for Dundalk for the European run, and that this is something the FAI had done at different times.
Yes.
And that this was needed to cover. And Padraig O'Cagey made a really good point. He said, you keep bringing up that you've got a turnover of 50 million. And said, if I had a business with a turnover of 50 million and I was down to my last 100 grand, I'd be very worried. And also a broader thing on the money issue with John Delaney, Eamon. What Mark uncovered in the credit card expenses, right? If you say that's the equivalent of 80,000 in a year, we can speculate on that. Plus the 360,000 salary, plus what we know of the rent, a company car would be worth 20 to 30,000 a year. His pension contributions, probably around 30 to 40,000. So you're looking at roughly 600,000 euro a year. And this is one of the smallest football associations in Europe.
Yes.
It's baffling how this was let go for so long.
And just on the detail, Mark, of that, that Kieran raised there, Dundalk were due €300,000 for winning the League of Ireland. And that money was not paid, and it was withheld, and they were fobbed off. And in the context of the larger story here, that's quite shocking.
Yeah, and Noel Rock asked that question, you know, was the creditor that they had to pay urgently in 2017 Dundalk? And he just didn't get a straight answer. And then Jonathan O'Brien raised the point, you know, well, look, all this UEFA money for participating in UEFA competitions, that goes to UEFA bank account, but is that then mixed in with the FAI's general bank account and, you know, used to cover day-to-day expenses? And to that question, that was, the non-answering of that question was, you know, telling in itself, you know, the implication being then, yes, that prize money is used for other stuff, and they pay it out when they have it then from other sources. So, you know, that's just mind-boggling, you know, that money can be used for the FAI's day-to-day finances. And, you know, this is partly why John Delaney had to go to the High Court to cover up all this, or what attempts to cover up the issue with the FAI's finances.
And of course, Mark, the way this the way this and every other country works, once the political system is put on alert, and particularly in this particular case, when the Taoiseach Leo Varadkar came out and expressed his disapproval, and then followed by a cabinet minister, Shane Ross, who holds the purse strings, if you like. It requires something that Kieran and I and many other people would have known to be the culture there, shall we say. But until someone like you exposes it, the politicians get on it, nothing happens. So there is a trigger point, and your story, initial story, was the catalyst, if you like, for something happening about a scandal, really, that we all kind of knew was hanging around.
Yeah, well, what really struck me from Wednesday, even outside the hearing, was how warmly John Delaney was welcomed by so many TDs, government TDs, opposition TDs. Like, he was going around there, you know, like not a care in the world, shaking hands, winking, backslapping. It was remarkable. You know, I was like, Jesus, who is this guy? You know, isn't any wonder that he's so well got, you know?
There was a telling.
I just wondered about that, Eamon. Sorry for cutting across, Eamon, but and Mark, but I wondered about this because, Eamon, the last time we were on, you mentioned John Delaney's charisma. And I have to be honest, I've dealt with John a lot over the years, and I haven't seen much sign of it. Maybe it comes out with the year. That's how he ended up with his 50th birthday party. We don't get invites, but I just wonder where. Oh, actually, what did you get him for his birthday? Because he has enough Thomas Pink shirts. And, well, did you get him an executive dry cleaning voucher?
No, I mean, everyone who was anyone, Kieran, was at his 50th birthday party, and right. I really was on table.
You're saying we're nobody. You're saying we're nobody.
No, I'm saying, and an awful lot of white thrash was there as well. I was on table 89, but the point. That struck right. me watching the committee last week, and I'm sure Mark has been there. Fergus O'Dowd, the chair of the committee, a very respected backbench Fine Gael TD, addressed him warmly as John. And this was the witness when he walked in the room and when he sat down, rather. And I thought Fergus O'Dowd, Mark, was quite solicitous, really.
Yeah, I thought he was quite deferential, you know, and even though, like, you know, Delaney had his legal advice, you know, I think he still could have allowed the questions to be asked and, you know, allow Mr. Delaney to squirm or, you know, to offer his, you know, legal advice thing. So I thought it was unnecessary that he blocked so many questions or said, you know, you don't have to answer that question.
Yes.
You know, you can say that once, but you don't, I thought there was so many blocking. Now, in fairness to Fergus O'Dowd, you know, he did go on and ask some good questions about, you know, how the FBI, you can't even ask a question at the AGM without putting it in advance. You know, Donald Conway had to admit that was the case. And Fergus O'Dowd, you know, did say, look, I think the only solution for you guys is regime change. So he was quite forceful there and did use his standing as chairman to yes. good effect in that regard. But yeah, like, this is all deriving from the Angela Kearns case and the TDs now. And obviously their advisors, their legal advisors are scared out of their lives, you know, that they're going to be subjected to another High Court case, a costly High Court case or Supreme Court ruling. And, you know, the presence of Aidan Deans there was a physical warning to them, you know, that Delaney was tooled up and legaled up and
yes.
was quite prepared to go down that route.
Kieran,
yeah. There's a wider issue as well, Eamon, just to cut across, there is a wider issue about Irish football. Like, it's not just about John Delaney. It's about the board and governance across the board. And it's about all the connections that are there. Like, there's so many people that are unwilling to criticize because they've either got a gig out of the FAI, they've got tickets out of the FAI, or they're hoping to get something sorted out in the future. That situation, like, even Damien Duff was very vocal last year over the Lee Miller match, testimonial match tribute match in Cork. But the GAA initially didn't allow the use of Parker T when he called the GAA dinosaurs. And the GAA did handle that very badly. But we don't hear anything from Damien Duff or people like Damien over all that's going on within their own governing body and their own sports. And we could do with more voices coming out against that.
Yeah, and that's why I say you should welcome me. But never mind. That's despite the fact that I was at the dinner, the birthday dinner. Let me ask you about Donald Conway, who is the president of the FAI and did all the answering or most of the answering in front of the Oireachtas Committee last Wednesday, Kieran. What do we know about Mr. Conway?
Well, he's a long-standing member of the board. I think he's there. I think he's there 13 years now, and he would have been one of the people, you know, along with Jill Delaney. There's a few there survivors from that time post Genesis, and they were seen as the people who reformed the Genesis board. His background is in schools football and the College of Football. He rose through that. He was a teacher in his former profession, but he. Like, to be honest, publicly, we'd heard very, very little from Donald Conway ever up until last week. And then a couple of statements came out from the FAI that were, the tagline at the start was statement from FAI President Donald Conway. And he seemed to be taking over the leadership role. But, like, from all that I gather, John Delaney, there's a board meeting ongoing at the moment. And I think at the end of that, John Delaney will be out the door. But I don't think it's going to end here. There's a lot of pressure for change across the board in the FAI. And there's also a big question about what John Delaney does next. Like, it was, the story was out there that John Delaney's gig with UEFA would be in trouble if he didn't have an executive position with the FAI. But now it looks like there's technicalities he could still keep it. And that raises huge questions about how UEFA works.
Yes.
Because we've heard all this stuff about the FAI and John Delaney here, and it doesn't seem to bother UEFA.
Now, the question of a regime change, which Mark referred to there, this is what Fergus O'Dowd proposed, if you like, as a solution for this problem. I want to ask you, Kieran, because you know the territory. Mm. If you get rid of this regime and all their camp followers, what are we going to have? Because isn't the problem that this runs very deep in football administration in this country? Who's going to run the association?
I read Stephen Hunt's column, for example, in the Sunday Independent yesterday. And Stephen Hunt was, I thought he was effectively advertising himself for the job. Like, he made the point that whoever gets the job of CEO has to be, have a background in the game, be between 35 and 45. And it turns out Stephen Hunt is 37, and he has a background in the game. But I think it would be a mistake over somebody like him. I think it would be a mistake over somebody like Niall Quinn. Because John Delaney was a celebrity administrator, and Niall Quinn will be a celebrity administrator, and that's the last thing you want. Like, there are a lot of people within the sport that are more qualified than ever before, and they're finding it hard to get jobs in this country. Like, a lot of them have gone on to high-level jobs in the UK or New Zealand or the US. You know, people think the likes of Billy Walsh in
yes.
America, that they,
yeah.
you know, that they're either coaching
the
or administrative
coach.
Jobs.
Yeah.
But there's a guy that worked with Billy, Gary Keegan, and Gary Keegan has worked with all sorts of Irish sports, and everybody raves about him. He's a hard-nosed professional. He ran the Institute of Sport in Abbottstown for a few years as CEO, and you do need somebody, and he's completely, there's never been a question mark over his probity or how the way he works. And you do need, I think you, there's so many people that are compromised within Irish football now that you do, and you need more people from the League of Ireland. There are a lot of good people in the League of Ireland now. It's not like it was back in your day with Rovers. There are
right.
some really good people there, and solid people. Not all of them, but there are good pros there that would be capable of doing the job. But I think you do need, it's a cliche that was put up last week, you do need root and branch reform. Like, you do, and there has to be far more openness and transparency. Like, the stories coming in, like, there's not one big scandal that is causing this. It's the drip effect, like the accumulation of details. Like, more stuff is coming out every day. Like, today even there's a report in the Sun that 8,000 free tickets were given out for the Georgia match.
Yes.
Like, there's all sorts of strange stuff that's gone on for years and years.
Is this a failure of media to report on this, or is it a case that the FAI has been quite intimidating when it's put up to them, not just with the Oireachtas committee, but with sports writers and sports journalists or anyone else who tried to ask questions? Because for many, many years now, after AGMs, when normally associations of one kind or another would be accountable to the public through the media, the FAI just ignored that process and were a law unto themselves.
Mm. No, I think ultimately it's a failure of the libel laws in this country.
Yeah.
Because a lot of the stories Mark has been able to push over the line, a lot of other sports writers, in fairness, were looking into for years. But so many lawyers are terrified now, and editors.
Yes, give great credit to the Sunday Times for and to Mark, of course, to Mark for finding the story, and to the
yeah.
Sunday Times for backing him up and backing him up all the way.
Yeah, and obviously, and crucially, he got he got the credit card bills, like he had. You know, you do need evidence, and you know, he got, obviously there's whistleblowers there now that weren't there for the last few years, but, you know, you wouldn't believe the scale of the threats that gone on. Like, I see even Kevin Backhurst, who was, he was formerly, I think he was head of news and current affairs in RT. He since left RT, but he tweeted about this today around the Thierry Henry story and the 5 million that they got from FIFA. and questions they were asking about various issues around that and all the threats they got and the libel letters they got, and they couldn't go ahead with it. And a lot of media outlets can tell you similar stories, that you were browbeaten and media outlets were beaten down because of the climate you're in now. One big libel case can just be catastrophic.
Yeah, and
it was used as a weapon. It was used as a weapon.
Yeah, there were other pressures too. I know from my own experience, and John Giles and Lee Brady, working as analysts on RTE, RTE were subjected to serious pressure by the FAI about our own analysis during matches.
Yeah.
So at that level,
Mark brought it up on the last podcast we did. The FAI also tried to get Paul Rowan removed as football correspondent of the Sunday Times.
Yeah. So
they didn't like his coverage. And like, that was crossing the line you should never cross. It's none of their business.
That's right.
Absolutely none of their business. But one of the things, like, John Delaney was always seen as the heir apparent to the Olympic Council of Ireland, that he would eventually succeed Pat Hickey as president. And obviously when everything happened in Rio, he was very, very quick to distance himself and remove himself from the Olympic. But it reminds me of the Hickey story in the sense that everything, if you covered the Olympic movement in Ireland, you always heard that Hickey was indispensable, that he was the guy on the International Olympic Committees and that had the clout, and the tiny island would have no influence without him. So
yeah.
That was his coat of armor, so that he could do whatever he wanted. And because of Delaney's position in UEFA, I think he's adopted a similar suit of armor. That there's so many people think now that everything would fall apart without John Delaney. They think that he's the only guy that would be capable of, even though you look at the way the Euro 2020 competition is being organized next year, because the game's going all over Europe. So there's a fair chance you get a game, but he's getting all the credit for coming here. And there's, you know, that's coming here for ultimately because it's a very good stadium in Dublin and it's a good city that people want to come to. But it can work without it. Like the Olympic Federation Ireland now, five of the members have been on to international Olympic committees and there's a lot of really good professionals there. There are good people in Ireland that can come in and work with UEFA and work with UEFA. But it shouldn't be just about one person and we need John Delaney. And I think the scales have fallen from people's eyes a bit now and see, you know, it's like the Wizard of Oz when they pull back the curtain and they see the little man struggling to work the levers. You know, it's not all what it seems.
Okay. Story will progress later today, Kieran. What do we expect?
Hello?
Mark, before I go to Kieran, we have Mark Ty back with us from Sunday Times because Mark had to temporarily leave us. Mark, Kieran was just remarking there, Kieran, about how difficult sports journalists have found it to cover FAI-related stories because of threats, intimidation and the laws of libel. I mean, in the case of your own story and the Sunday Times response to it, if you had not been working for the Sunday Times, it's fair to say that you face your own intimidation and threats. And I think you told us last week that your legal advice was not bulletproof in terms of winning the right to publish this faced with an injunction. So it's tough in this country with the laws of libel as they are, even to get such a clear-cut story out, isn't it?
Yeah, like the advice was that we were right, but you know, if you kind of look at the draw, like the referee you get, the judge you get in a court case, you know, whether they're going to support the media or play it safe, is what a lot of judges would see. The safe option is to kind of put it back or to give the injunction and let someone else deal with it in more detail. We've had this, you know, I've covered John Delaney for a number of years and his personal finances and stuff to do with the FAI, and I was always struck by how the FAI refused to engage on a basic level on very basic questions. Going back to the John Delaney song, you know, he was singing about the IRA song, and the threats that went out there were remarkable, you know, and they were turned out to be completely dishonest. You know, they were asserting that John Delaney wasn't the person in the video, and quite clearly then it was, you know. So
yeah,
you know, you talk about bullying, but then there's also, you know, you know, it's, I know what's a legally safe way to say it, but you know, based on not telling the truth, you know, and it's something that, you know, obviously journalists have to tell the truth, but you know, the people on the other side were not being as careful on that front.
Just let me ask you a final question, Mark Ty, about this experience in the sporting area, how it compares, if you like. I mean, you more often have written about major figures in society or big institutions. Is this quite a sort of shock to find the paranoia, but also the willingness to intimidate you as a journalist, or to try and intimidate the Sunday Times, which is not a very profitable way to behave? How surprised were you at the degree of intimidation, and indeed the feeling the FAI might have had that they could bully you out of doing this, compared to other and bigger fish that you have to deal with week in, week out?
Yeah, I suppose I wasn't maybe surprised by the tactics having been used to it now over the last few years, but I was surprised dealing with sources on the ground at the level of fear, genuine fear that, you know, people could be blacklisted, yes. That relatives could be targeted, you know, who have involvement in clubs or, you know, various things. And so, like, that's kind of been the hardest part of journalists working on this story, is, you know, convincing people to trust us as a newspaper and trust, yes, me as a journalist, that, you know, we will protect them no matter what, that we will protect them as a source, you know. So people have put a lot of faith in me, and that's been fantastic. You know, people have come forward. A lot of people have come forward at this stage, and a lot of people have put things on the line because they think there has been wrongdoing in the FAI's finance, and they want that, yes, exposed. They want regime change. There's no doubt about that. And, you know, it's been quite rewarding. Like, we've had something like 200 extra paid subscriptions to the Sunday Times yesterday after our story broke on the expenses. And,
yes,
you know, I've had a lot of negative reaction to stories, you know, writing about, you know, El Sambe was a controversial one earlier in this year. You know, we wrote about how what she was telling, and, you know, she'd been on the front pages of many papers and magazines telling one story, and we reported the facts, but that wasn't, you know, she'd been telling porky pies, basically.
Yes.
And, you know, I got a lot of hate, I have to say, you know, a lot of abusive messages on Twitter. So on the other side of things, I've been getting a lot of love from, yep, you know, inundated with, you know, I'd say over 100 messages yesterday, just, you know, thanking me for reporting. So a lot of people have been waiting a long time for this day to come, I think.
Yeah, it's great. And Kieran, I'm sure you'd echo what we at the Stand here feel, that we do owe Mark, Ty and the Sunday Times a debt of gratitude, because you guys know on the sports beat how difficult and intimidating it can be to cover not just the FAI, but other sporting bodies as well.
Yeah, because this could be a transformative moment for Irish football, because a lot of other sporting bodies have made great league forwards over the next few years.
Yes.
And, you know, you could look at who knows where the board will be and the FAI will be in 5 years' time. And we might look back on this and think 2019 was so significant, and it didn't really come about through political pressure, even though there will be a lot of politicians looking to take credit for it. It did come about because of what Mark did.
Yes.
And he deserves huge credit for that. Fair play to him. I'm jealous.
I'd like to thank you very much, Mark, and indeed to say to all of our listeners, particularly if they're politicians, how important good journalism is. And this has been an outstanding example of a story that was there waiting to be told, just required a good journalist and a brave editor and a brave newspaper. And I'm delighted that it's worked for you, Mark Ty, and for the Sunday Times. And Kieran Cunningham, also chief sports writer with the Irish Daily Star. Thank you for joining us, Kieran, and many of my colleagues in the sports writing field have been covering this beat for a long time. So happy days. And we'll see how this story develops later on today. Don't forget, there will be more developments. We wait to see what the end result is. That's all we have time for. And we'll see you soon, folks.